It's week 15, and it's time to talk about the NFC. I'm Kyle, the student of the game. To my right, Chris and Weasel, ready to bring you the NFC action. Going to go over and jump to a kind of important game, or at least it'll kind of turn out. The Bucks looking pretty solid for the playoffs, for that wild card spot. maybe a dark horse in the NFC South Division, facing off against the Lions. The Lions, they're like, for their past 26 away games. Or something like that. You know, it was 2007 the last time they won an away game. It's all right. Chris, tell them it was all right.
Yeah, the Lions finally got some help from the officials this year.
Just
because they're not playing against the Bears.
Oh, see, I'm going to get blamed for that. That is so not fair. I had nothing to do with that.
On a controversial offensive pass interference call, they break a 26-game road losing streak to beat the Bucks 23-20 in overtime.
Wow.
And the Bucks playoff hopes are slipping away.
Party like it's 2007, bitches.
For the Lions, Drew Stanton, 23-37, 62%, 252 yards, one touchdown. No interceptions, no fumbles, no sacks. Josh Freeman, 21-32, 66%, 251 yards, one touchdown.
Most improved player hopes, slowly going down the drain.
Right, he was sacked three times. Yeah, no interceptions, no football. So just looking at the stats, I mean, Drew Stanton, 23-37, 252.
Mm-hmm.
Freeman, 21-32, 251. Pretty much even right there. I mean,
yeah,
66%,
definitely.
62%.
Right.
Those yards pretty much even. All right, for the ground, for the Lions, Maurice Morris, 15 for 109, 7.27 to carry, one touchdown. He did have a long of 25, so that brings it down to 6 to carry.
Oh, that's terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Pretty good for a guy that Kyle thought that no one, he was.
I thought he was dead.
Rookie Jahvid Best had 6 carries for 12 yards. 3-yard average. And wide receiver Nate Burleson had 1 carry for 25 yards.
Yeah, that reverse was pretty nice.
Yeah. For the Bucks, the fighter LeGarrette Blount had 15 for 110. 7.3 average with a touchdown. He did have a long of 39, so that brings it down to 5.
So I just thought of something. This is random. So, like, let's say there's a preseason game, right? And, like, there's a lot of injuries on defense, and they want to try LeGarrette Blount at linebacker. And let's say that number 34 for the Dolphins gets the ball and just runs right past LeGarrette Blount. Does that mean that Ricky Williams smoked Blount? I'm just saying.
Wow.
I'm just saying. Come on, I'm just saying.
Cadillac Williams had 7 for 38, 5.43. He did have 10, long of 10, that's 4.67. But, you know, the two top running backs here, 15 for 109 and 15 for 110.
Yeah, busy day.
Yeah, pretty even again.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the stat line.
Well, no, I meant busy day for both running backs. I mean, Blount had more support because Cadillac Williams had 7 carries for 38. That's not a bad performance. Freeman took 5 for 29 of his own. That's not a bad supporting performance.
Right. And through the air for the Lions, Calvin Johnson, 10 for 152 yards. Nate Burleson, 4 for 28 with a touchdown. Tony Scheffler, 3 for 18. And Maurice Morris at 3 for 10. For the Bucks, rookie Mike Williams, 6 for 96 with a touchdown. Kellen Winslow, 4 for 46. Aurelius Ben, 3 for 34. Cadillac Williams, 2 for 26. And Ernest Grimm at 3 for 41. You know, looking down, as I was saying before, you know, passing pretty much even, rushing pretty much even.
Absolutely.
Stat-wise, I mean, turnovers, both of them had 0.
That's right.
That was the other game I was talking
about.
Oh,
that's
that
teaser.
Yep.
Look out, full circle. What?
First downs, 26 for Detroit, 22 for the Bucks. Pretty high. That's pretty much even as well.
Yeah, pretty close.
33.05 to 32.05. Even. Third down. 6 of 15. No, 6 of 12. Sorry, I'm going to calculate that. 6 for 12 and 5 of 12.
Not bad.
That's
wow.
That's huge. No,
yeah. You know, holding our 433 to 403. Everything was pretty much even on paper. It's just, you know, the controversial pass interference call that could have been a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Bucks had a sell for a field goal.
Right, and obviously that 4 points would have made the difference in the game. Were you going to talk about that now or later?
I'm talking about it now.
Okay, yeah, well, Mike Williams and the corner got tied up in the end zone, and I mean, both of them had their hands on each other. It looked like a wrestling match. And what happened then is the ball was thrown out, and because they were grabbing each other, Winslow was able to kind of launch his body back and make the catch off of what would have been dubbed a push. The reason why it's a no call in my eyes is because the contact was initiated by the defender. If the defender starts the fight, you can't flag the offensive player. Now, you don't want to throw defensive pass interference? That's cool. It needs to be a no call. And if he happens to catch the pass, maybe the defender shouldn't have started the conflict. However, the refs called it what... I wouldn't have called it the way it was called on the field. I couldn't have called offensive pass interference because the defender started the contact. And that's all I have to say about it. Am I as angry about it as a Bucks fan? No, probably not. This isn't the same kind of travesty we saw, sorry Bears fans, with Calvin Johnson in the end zone in week one. But it's still wrong to me. Anyways, so we're wrapping up the Bucks and the Lions and headed over, still in the AFC South, with the Saints against the Ravens. Weevil, bring that.
In the mid-second quarter, the Saints were losing 21-7 against the Ravens. They mounted a comeback but fell short. The Ravens, at home, defeated the Saints 30-24.
And this comeback, before you just run right over that, that comeback was like a 97-yard drive, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was pretty big.
Pretty impressive. For the Saints, Drew Brees was 29 of 46, 63%, 267 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 INT. He was sacked 3 times. For the running game, Pierre Thomas, 6 rushes for 20 yards, 3.3 average. Julius Jones had 4 for 11, 2.8 average. Reggie Bush had 4 for negative 4. In the receiving game, Marquez Colston had 6 for 80. Devery Henderson had 3 for 53. Reggie Bush had 7 for 36. Rookie tight end Jimmy Graham had 5 for 29 with 2 touchdowns. Lance Moore had 2 for 26 with a touchdown. Tight end Khaki Jeremy Shackey had 3 for 26.
We're not going to be able to screen out Johnny Knox this week. I had to say something. I mean, there's been no Dallas Clark. Johnny Knox isn't playing this week. I needed to be loud.
Johnny Knox!
Okay.
All right. Moving on. Robert Beecham had 2 for 17. For the Ravens, Joe Flacco had 10 of 20, 50%, 172 yards, 2 touchdowns, no INTs. He was sacked 3 times. In the running game, Ray Rice had 31 rushes for 153 yards, 4.9 average with a touchdown. Willis McGahee had 7 for 53, 7.6 average. In the receiving game, Ray Rice had 5 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown. Derek Mason had a 42-yard reception. Rookie tight end Ed Dixon had 2 for 33 with a touchdown.
He's going to be good when he retires. That's my opinion.
Yeah. And TJ Houshmandzadeh had a 15-yard catch. Now with 2:51 remaining in the game, the Saints got the ball pinned at their own 4-yard line, down 27-24. 6 plays later, on a 4th and 8 at their own 17-yard line, Brees was intercepted by Ravens defensive end Corey Riddle. The Ravens went 3 and out, but were able to take a field goal with only 12 seconds left to put them up by 6. On the return, there was a penalty when Reggie Bush threw a forward pass. Game over.
Game over. When Reggie Bush threw a forward pass, fail. So, you wrapped up with that? I mean, yeah, there's not a whole lot to say to that. I mean, that was a close game. It's a game that got overlooked just because, let's be honest, gentlemen, this is 2 pretty good weeks of football in a row, league-wide, from a league-wide standpoint. I mean, me, the Niner fan, was a little hurt that Philip the Fraud manhandled the Niners, but, you know, as far as the league goes, I mean, you know, the Giants fan in the room is like, well, great, about this Eagles crap I'm about to talk about, we had to deal with that. Yeah, it was dramatic, at least. You know, good is a relative term.
One for the ages.
Yeah, right.
The Eagles Giants game?
Yeah.
Do we even have to cover that? With about 8 minutes left, I mean.
Hey! I haven't introed it yet. Shut up!
Yeah, I mean.
So. There was a lot of games that were very interesting this week. I mean, we'll leave that at that. Speaking of interesting, Chris, New Meadowlands, go.
Yeah, the NFC East showdown. The Giants looked like they were going to cruise to an easy victory with a 24-3 halftime lead. The Giants were leading 31-10 with 8.5 minutes left in the game when Vic was unleashed, led the Eagles to score 28 unanswered points to win 38-24. The Eagles scored to make it 31-17 when they kicked an onside kick with 7:27 left and recovered it, then went down the field and scored to go down 31-24. Giants tried to run out the clock with 5:21 left, and the Eagles used all their timeouts Giants had to punt the ball. Vic got the ball back with 3:01 left in the game with no timeouts on his own 12. Vic then had a 33-yard run, a 22-yard scramble that led to tie the game at 31 with a minute 10 left in the game. The Giants got the ball on their own 36 and had two incompletions and a manning sack on third down. Then on fourth down, rookie punter out of East Carolina, I'm calling him out, Matt Dodge, was instructed to punt the ball out of bounds with 14 seconds left in regulation. Instead, he overkicked the coverage with a line drive straight to DeSean Jackson.
Hell, he might as well have overcooked it too, whatever.
Yeah. Who fumbled the ball and had all the time in the world to pick the ball up. Since he overkicked the coverage.
He dropped it. Oh, that's okay. He has time to pick it back up. Yeah.
And he found the seam and took it back 65 yards for a touchdown. Just to put a little dagger into the Giants, he ran along the goal line before he went in to make sure that there was no time left.
And for the record, for all you guys who are going to be all like, all you Philly fans out there who I know are probably arguably the most fan-colored goggled fans on the planet, the clock was expired.
That was
showmanship,
yeah.
Okay? You know, I mean, we're talking about the same dude who, like spiked the ball before he was in the end zone as a rookie. We're talking about the same dude who did the rollover backwards somersault into the end zone last week. And got, I don't know if he got flagged for it or not, but if he didn't, that's a surprise. But, yeah, he was showing off. Let's call it what it is, okay? Come on.
I would not be surprised if Matt Dodge, the punter, would be on the unemployment line later this week.
So, and let's put this in perspective, folks. In addition to being the Giants homer on the show, Chris is also a UCF alumni, and a rival of theirs being East Carolina. Chris is not very fond of Dodge the punter right now.
All right, but this is what's funny. Giants coach Tom Coughlin ripped off his headphones and threw his clipboard to the ground very spurrier-esque and furiously ran onto the field to his punter trying to find an explanation even before Jackson went into the end zone.
Well, yeah, because he was dancing along the side. I can see that happening.
Right, but, I mean, it's just funny. I mean, all you know, everybody knows Spurrier, like, throws his eyes and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And like, Colin Coppola, you know, get this crap off me, God. You know?
This is this mother... See, because you can't hear him say the bad word because he took his headphones off in time. Yeah. But seriously, we're going back to a theme that I talked about with Coughlin, I think back when I was in print, certainly earlier in the podcasting days. The everything is Tom Coughlin's fault. People are all like, oh, well, that onside kick was a thing and Tom Coughlin should have been prepared. Hey, shut up!
Dude, there's 7.5 minutes left. No one really think about an onside kick. 7.5 minutes left when you're down by 21.
Let's give them a logical standpoint and fine. So, the Eagles want to try to pull one out their butt. And they want to surprise you. To be prepared for that, and again, something that that football players are told throughout their careers, and by now, if you don't know it, why are you getting paid millions to do it? Kick coverage. You're in the front line. Chris, I'm going to ask you, you may or may not know this. When do you start running back to cover a kick? Once the ball's over your head.
Yep.
Exactly. They obviously didn't do that.
Nope.
But that's Coughlin. That's Coughlin's fault.
Coughlin took the blame for... He said, oh, it's my fault that, we told the punter to go out there and punt, but the snap was a little high, and I guess he didn't...
No, that was Coughlin's fault. He should have done it in Spanish, too.
Yeah.
Termine ser sentados, por favor. Whatever. All
right, for going through the stats, Michael Vick was 21 of 35, 60%, 242 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. He was sacked 3 times. Most of his yards came in the fourth quarter with less than 8.5 minutes left. For the Giants, Eli Manning, 23 of 39, 59%, 289 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. He was sacked twice. First 2 sacks since 6 games ago. On the ground, Michael Vick led everyone 10 for 130, 13-yard average with a touchdown. He did have a long of 35, then 33, then 22. Okay? So he had 7, you take all those out, that's 90 yards right there on 3 carries. So that gives 7 for 40, 5.7. It's still pretty good, you know, scramble.
Well, see,
scramble.
Here's my whole thing. Yeah, Vic went wild this game, but let's call it what it is, folks. 7 out of 8 quarters of football, the Giants locked down Michael Vick. That is what it is. That just, I mean, come on. The
seven
Eagles,
and a half. 3 minutes left.
Call it what it is, yeah. Giants fan. You're just, hey, you're adding to my point. But what I'm getting to is 28 points in the fourth quarter is really pretty much what I'm getting to.
28 unanswered points.
Yeah, well.
I mean, there was a total of 35 points the whole fourth quarter. The Giants scored right before that.
Mm-hmm.
LeSean McCoy had 10 for 64, 6.4. He did have a long at 20, and that was 4.9. Ahmad Bradshaw, 19 for 66, 3.5 a carry. And Brandon Jacobs, 12 for 34. Through the air, Jeremy Maclin had 7 catches, 59 yards, 2 touchdowns. He lost the fumble, and that fumble he lost was just before the half, and it led to a touchdown with 8 seconds left. It was in their own end. And LeSean McCoy, 4 for 13. DeSean Jackson, 3 for 52 with a lost fumble, which was at the Giant, was at the 50-yard line, which led to the Giants' touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jason Evans, 3 for 35. Tight end Brent Celek, 2 for 72 with a touchdown that came from a 65-yard strike to get the scoring going in the fourth quarter.
Jason Evans, you mean Jason Avant?
Yeah, Jason Avant.
Oh, okay.
For the Giants, Mario Manningham, 8 for 113, 2 touchdowns, 1 fumble. This fumble was on the Giants' own 25 that led to the Eagles' first touchdown of the game. Hakeem Nicks, 6 for 63 with a touchdown. Kevin Boss, 3 for 59. Derek Hagan, 3 for 36.
Oh, 59. Okay, I thought I missed my cue for a minute. Sorry.
Oh, I said a little slower. The time of possession, Giants led, you know, 33.5, 26.5. Third down, Eagles were 4 for 11, 36%. Giants were 8 for 17, 47. Total yards, 364 to the Giants, 418 yards to the Eagles. And most of that came in that fourth quarter in the last 8.5 minutes. Literally 8.5 minutes, 28 points.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you 7 1/3 quarters. How about that?
I shouldn't have turned off that game after 8 minutes left.
Yeah, they're
talking. I was stoked. I thought, I totally gained the game on Weasel. It's on like Donkey Kong. Oh.
Yeah, they're talking about it on the radio today, too, and it's like the shot doctor goes, oh, yeah, it's my fault. I had the jinx. I sent a text out to Eagles fans saying, this game's over. You know, and they're like, you split the jinx, but then another guy called in and said, no, I was at a bar, and these two guys bet that they'd burn, like, the guy had a Eagles hat on, and the Giant fan had a jersey, and they said, you know, before the game, you know, hey, if you lose, you know, I bet you will burn your jersey if the Giants lose, and you can burn my hat if the Eagles lose. All right, with going into the fourth quarter, with, like, about 10 minutes left, or after the Giants scored that touchdown, Eagles fan goes over there and goes, here's my hat, go ahead and burn it. The guy walked outside to go burn it. When the Eagles scored a touchdown, everyone's yelling at him, saying, no, 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 come back in, come back in, you're jinxing it, and everything, and sure enough.
Wow.
I still blame the shot, Doctor.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah, whatever. You know, people are going to blame Tom Coughlin for this. You can't do that.
Yeah. But with that loss, it's still in the lead with the wild card.
That's true. Right now they're in the playoffs, and I think we said it last week. I'm going to say it again this week because it's even more true. Giants versus Packers, huge for playoff implication. We'll talk about that a little more when we get to it in this week's edition of the Study Hall. Now, from what Chris tells me, we all inhaled profusely, which is to say that we sucked.
Yeah, you and Weasel were 3-4. I was 2-5. I should have gone with my Bills instincts last week.
Yeah.
My rule, Bims at home, you do not pick them.
Yep.
Well, and you know what? I mean, I can't.
Can't pick the Bills on that, though, is this thing.
Yeah, I know. But see, here's my thing is, Weasel, I'm gonna give Weasel some props here, even though we tied this week. My man Weasel, he's a little free-flowing with the talking of trash. Yet he hasn't said a word about how he managed to pick that Giants game. I'm just saying.
he's actually been picking the Eagle all year.
Well, yeah, he picked the Eagles for the first game.
Yeah,
and he didn't talk trash then because he knew that Eli and the Giants had 5 turnovers that game and wasn't really a true picture. Then this game comes up. Weasel's thought, okay, you know what? I got plenty of games up on Kyle. It's cool. But you don't have to worry about it now. Yeah. We just, I don't have to say nothing.
So you still gain your one game tonight.
Tonight, right. We're waiting on the outcome of the Bears and the Vikings, where I picked the Bears and we did pick the Vikings. So, you know, I'm not even going to make the Homer comment. They know by now if they listen to the show. So anyways, enough flim flam. Let's get it going. First game.
All right. Took it in deliberation. I took your picks, major picks this game.
Took the liberty to go with the Thursday night game, which is...
The Panthers at Steelers.
Yeah, okay. Next?
I put you both for the Panthers.
No, I said the first game. I don't want to hear about beatdowns, okay?
Next one. Lions at Fins.
This is actually... tough to pick.
I'm picking the Lions because the Fins are at home.
Oh, so the Fins are hosting.
That's true. I'm done. I'm picking the Lions. I screwed me last week. My damn this week. I don't care. I'm either trying to gain a game or I'm completely out of it.
I'll pick the Lions too.
Come on, man. I'm trying to pick the game.
Megatron, man. Megatron.
But
for my
Cameron
money,
Wake?
Yeah, Cameron Wake, who was a ridiculous presence. The reason why that game was lost when we went over it in the AFC edition was 4 missed field goals. The offense continues to struggle. The defense is still pretty tough. If the defense puts points on the board, I believe the Dolphins will win. And if the defense puts points on the board, I would have picked this game incorrectly. I'm going Lions.
You're going Lions too?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Everyone's going Lions.
I was thinking about going Fins. And then I'm like, well, wait a minute. Their offense hasn't been producing. And the Lions have enough offense to accidentally do something, even though Cameron Wake's on the field. And then, oh, by the way, the Lions' defensive line is something special, folks. Right. Kyle Van Den Bosch and Ndamukong Suh, big deal, gentlemen. Big deal.
All right, next game, I took liberty to add you guys in here already. It's Pats at Bills.
Yeah, next. So,
put you both to the Bills on that one as well. Seahawks at Bucks.
Bucks, please. Come on. Anybody else?
I'll take the Bucks.
I got the Bucks as well. All
right.
Redskins at Jags. I got the Jags as my role.
Okay, so the Jags are traveling.
Jags are at home.
Jags are at home. And you got Redskins, the Jags. I'm sorry. Okay. Not to mention the fact that the Redskins are an inferior team, and I believe the Jags think they still have a chance, though I don't. I've got the Jags. Legal.
I got the Jags.
Okay.
Jets at Bears.
This is just annoying enough to be difficult to pick. I'll go ahead and start with this one. Look, we all know that I feel like the Bears are overrated. Here's the problem. Julius Peppers versus Sanchez. Sanchez has seen a lot of good players, a lot of good linemen, and faced some good defenses. He has not faced Julius Peppers yet that I remember. Okay? And he certainly hasn't done it combined with Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs. Kind of a big deal, that. He won't get the vote, but in my consideration personally, Julius Peppers should be considered for MVP because, in my opinion, he is the reason why the Bears are even a factor, let alone the alleged number 2 seed in the NFC. However, Sanchez has been pretending to actually give a damn lately. Looked pretty nice against the Steelers. I think it's going to come down to how well the Jets run the ball. I think the Jets will run the ball well. I got the Jets. Chris.
Yeah, I'm going with the Bears.
Oh, look out.
I'm picking the Bears the rest of the year.
You just want to lose.
Wow.
Weasel.
That would have something to do with my girlfriend being a Bears fan.
Liar.
But I'll pick the Bears.
See, I wouldn't even pull that angle, but Weasel's picking for the no-no.
And you talk about how you see the Jets running game going. Bears, I think, have the number 3 rush defense in the league.
Yes, but I don't see Cutler lighting up the scoreboard against Alcatraz and Rivas Island. I just don't. True, there is Dunn and Ox, but that's a good point. Chase Mountain. Next game.
Vikings at Eagles.
Weasel.
I'll just pick the Eagles.
Put right. me down for the Eagles, too.
Yeah.
Colts at Raiders.
Colts, come on now.
Yeah,
Colts.
Giants at Packers.
Okay. Chris.
Now, I originally had the Packers written down on here.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you two are going to pick Packers, so I'm going to go with the Giants.
Homer.
No, I originally had the Packers written down here because I think they'll win. I was thinking with the Giant meltdown they had yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the Giant meltdown.
Yeah. They're going to carry over into the Packers. But mm-hmm. I know you two are going to pick Packers and win with Giants. Try to get a game.
I think you know wrong personally on this one. Although, if my boss happens to listen to the podcast, I might get demoted. But here's what I know. I don't know that Aaron Rodgers will be back. And if he is, great. If he isn't, great. At least based on Matt Flynn's performance against the Patriots. He's settled in. He's kind of more locked in. That ain't going to be the factor. Matt Flynn still hasn't faced an amazing defense. Not to mention this defense contained Michael Vick for 7 1/3 quarters. This defense is good. Eli and company, the part that that's been left out, has been looking pretty good on offense, too. This game's going to be close. There is no easy way to pick this game. However, because I know the Bears have the luck on their side, the Packers will lose this game. And on top of the defense factor, I think the Giants' defense will carry them into the playoffs. Not to mention I'm being consistent with picking the Giants making the playoffs in the preseason when I said it in August. I got the Giants.
Yeah, dude, I was going to pick the Giants.
You still made that?
Yeah.
Packers.
There's still time.
There is still time. You can switch it if you want.
Homer.
Yeah, but you haven't said it. I mean, Clay Matthews. You've been talking about him all season.
I have been talking about Clay Matthews all season. You also should know by now how much I respect the Giants O-line.
Right. Last one, Saints at Falcons.
Whew. Weasel.
Pick the Falcons.
Just nothing. You're just going Falcons all day. Here's what I know. The Falcons beat the Saints already. That is true. Thanks to help from Garrett Hartley, missing 2 field goals that could have won the game. However, here's what else I know. The Saints defense is not what it was. And who's hosting, Chris?
Falcons.
The Falcons are pretty darn solid at home right now. I'm going to have to go Falcons.
I'm going to go with Saints. Just to see if I can try to catch up the game.
Nice.
So, I mean, they lost the first one with the Hartley field goal.
That's going to be a close game, I feel.
It is going to be a close game. They both home games are in domes, so.
Ironically, my wife will be in New Orleans, but I won't, so I can speak my mind.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's it. Well, I can only gain one game from Weasel. You can probably gain.
The Jets game is the only one I thought was different.
No, too. You got the, because you threw your curveball at it.
Yeah, you thought I was going to pick the Packers?
No, I thought you were going to pick the Fins. You picked the Lions.
I'll tell you, I was pretty close to picking the Fins, but then I started thinking about the Lions offense. And, hey, I'll tell you, the Fins are playing like a team who's demoralized, and the Lions are playing like a team that, like, oh, look out.
Well, I mean, Drew Stanton finally, it's his third year there in Detroit. I mean,
you know, I'm amazed at how good all three of their quarterbacks played. Look, I know Sean Hill's not a hero, and that Matt Stafford is good when he's not on the bench, but, I mean, as far as quarterback cores go, I mean, Stafford's the third. Look, there's only one team that won with their third and fourth string quarterback besides them, that's the Steelers.
Right. For some reason, Stanton's a Michigan product.
Yeah.
He went to Michigan State.
Okay.
Grew up in Michigan. I mean, he's on Detroit.
Right.
It seems like with the Lions organization keeps trying to push him back, but the last couple weeks he's had a pretty good year. I mean, a pretty good game.
What that means to me is that will be an excellent trade for them to acquire draft picks towards kicking butt next year or in the future or to acquire some sort of free agent. That's also what that could be.
Right. Like a Stafford, injured.
Yeah, maybe they do want to hold on to Stanton because of that.
Injuries, I mean,
that's a big deal. And, well, part of it is because he's been trying to get back these two.
Yeah.
Anyways, speaking of getting back, let's get back to letting you know how you can hear us. The website is www.thestoonsgame.com. Get subscribed to us on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter. Every time we post, you'll get thrown up on there @thesotg. You can also email us at thesotg@gmail.com. Until week 16, ooh, it's getting close. Until week 16, we'll see you. But to put a couple things in perspective, folks, your playoff team so far, the Patriots, the Jets, the Steelers, the Ravens, the Colts, and the Chiefs in the AFC, the Eagles, today it's the Giants, right? The Bears, the Falcons,
the Saints,
and Rams.
Rams at 6-8.
Which leads me to a pop quiz. Oh, pop quiz! Not really. This is more of an essay question. The event of the 7-9 playoff team is looking more and more possible, if not probable. I might have asked this before, but I'm going to reiterate it again in a more formal context here. There's a 7-9 team on the list. The first question would be, should a 7-9 team be allowed to make the playoffs?
Yes. But I can go off of that either.
I said no.
Okay,
you're promoting less than mediocre. I mean,
less than mediocre. That's a great way to put it, actually.
I mean, why would they go to the playoffs when you got other teams that are? I mean, you might have other teams that are going to be 9-7 or 10-6 that'll even make the playoffs.
Well, you got to mix up the division again. I mean, the teams you got.
That's not a true statement.
Well,
I agree with Chris, but I think I got to spin on both y'all teams. Everybody should be allowed in the playoffs based on their division. That is a true statement. Until someone has a losing record. Let's expand that. What can that eventuate to be? It means it's possible for a losing team to be the NFL champion. Not likely, mind you, but possible. That's not acceptable. You do that, the credibility of the regular season is shot. Period. Why do you play in if somebody with a losing record can get to the Super Bowl and possibly win it? That's ridiculous. Now, at that point, they have a losing record. Look, I think it's fair to expect a playoff team to have a winning record, or at least a 500 record. I think that's fair. I mean, heck, look at college bowl games. Most of them expect that, at least, that you have a 500 record.
Which they barely had this year.
Yeah, well,
they were scrambling. They had 70 spots. They had 64 going into the last week. Nervous.
Now,
had a win.
Yeah. Now, here's the variation I would throw at that. Should a team with a losing record, if they're allowed to make the playoffs, be allowed to host
definitely
the game?
Not.
Okay, Chris, I figured you'd say no, Weasel.
Definitely not.
That's what I was saying. I was thinking that for the first round of the playoffs, the team with the wild card team, if they have a better
record
mm-hmm. than the division leader, then they should get the home game. But still, I mean,
again,
that's why you have divisions.
Again, I'm throwing a mix on that. Your rule would hold only if they have a losing record.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't think it's too much to ask for a playoff team to be at least 500. That's what it is. Now, I don't want to do the seedings like they do in the NBA, okay? I don't want it to be like, oh, sure, you won your division, but this wild card has a 12 wins and you have 10, so you have to play away. No, that's wrong. I don't want that. You know, I do want some... Look, the good thing about having divisions the way they are is you have a situation where the Cardinals might make it to the Super Bowl. A winning team, 9-7, might have a chance to make it to the Super Bowl and almost win. As we saw in the Steelers' most recent Super Bowl victory. But I don't think it's too much to ask for a winning team to be a representative of the elite in the league. Of course, that's just me. Well, not just me. Apparently, Chris agrees. Weasel, you're that guy. Sorry, bro.
Whatever.
Anyways, with that, we'll see you in week 16. Take care.